Hello, everybody, and Happy New Year. I didn't say it in a particularly happy mode. The reason, I have to be honest with you, because I don't know how not to say what I think, which is ultimately advantageous, but it comes with a price. I'm not sure it's going to be a particularly happy year. I'll be totally honest with you. It doesn't change my own love of life, joy of life, the happiness that I have with my friends and family and work. But the moral chaos in the West and in America where I live is quite considerable. And the divisions are greater than ever. So anyway, look, I hope I'm wrong. I hope it does end up a happy new year, but I certainly wish you one, both in your own lives and in the lives of whatever society you live in and in the world at large. This is Fireside Chat number 322. And big changes, as you could see, I am now seated here as opposed to there. So the dog, whoever the dog will be, is in the background. It is not a green screen of a dog and books and fireplace. It is the same real dog, real screen, and real books.
Real screen.
Yeah, you're right. Real real screen in front of the fireside.
Oh.
That's what I meant. Anyway, what else can I tell you about the situation? No, not really. That's it. So that's the change. Here I am. Otherwise, all continues. It's a very meaningful thing to me, the Fireside Chat. If you missed last week's Fireside Chat, as you know, very rarely I have guests, maybe three times a year. And I had my younger son on last week, Aaron. And the feedback has been very moving to me because it was quite an open and powerful, I think, nearly hour, especially given two factors in Aaron's life. One, that he is my adopted. I have a biological and adopted child. And so we spoke about that very openly. And we spoke about his issues with drugs and alcohol, which he had being born to a birth mother who was a meth addict. And all of that was quite moving because he was articulate and he was honest, and I was honest. I asked him if he ever thought I loved his brother, the biological son, more than him. I mean, I don't fear asking the questions that people think about. People are too afraid of the real. And so you end up with a lot of small talk in life, especially in media. The questions people ask are often so superficial and the answers are so empty on so many of these interviews that you have. You live once, you should be real, and you let the chips fall where they may. And he answered, by the way, that when he was under the influence of alcohol, he did think I loved his biological, or my biological son, his brother, more than I loved him, which was never true. And he knows now it was never true. And he certainly doesn't feel it anymore. But anyway, you should watch it, The Last Fireside Chat. And yes, he does have a podcast, which he never gave his name as Prager, just AP Unfiltered, it's one word, is the name of his podcast. And he came out of the closet, as it were, as my son, with the Last Fireside Chat. So it's been quite moving. So I asked Megan, the possessor of the most famous arm in America, I asked Megan what I talked about last year for the first Fireside Chat of the year, and the year before. Both I did something about resolutions, and I think it's an appropriate thing. When else? I'm not going to do it in August, so clearly, and you don't even do it the second week of January. So what did I do? So I want to remind you of what I did in the past, because these things are heard, and I know that some of the things I say are meaningful to you. If not, you wouldn't be watching this. But people forget. And it's not a good thing. It's worth remembering things that are important to you. Whether it's me or anybody who says something that's important to you, write it down. Make a note of it so that you don't forget, and it does last. For example, last year, I love this. I did not remember what I said, and the entire resolution was one commentary, one opening monologue. Don't waste your time finding yourself, quote unquote, finding yourself. And I'll just repeat very, very briefly, because you could always watch that, obviously. That's the beauty of having all of these up on at PragerU. But I emphasized that the question people should ask is not, who am I? It's, who do I want to be? That's the most important question you can ask about your life. What or whom do I want to be? Finding, what does it mean to find yourself? What's there to find? The trick is to make yourself, not find yourself, make yourself. And I was very lucky to know this at a very early age, because I would see all my friends in high school and college. You know, I just haven't found myself. What does that mean? What is there to find? Now, it's very good to know yourself. That's true. To know your strengths and know your weaknesses. And everyone has both. That's true. But otherwise, who do you want to be? What type of human being do you want to be? And then you become it. We are what we want to become. And I don't mean you could be an NBA player. If you want to be. Most people cannot. I would like to be a concert pianist. I cannot. I don't have the talent, and I'm not going to invest the 6 hours a day necessary. So I acknowledge that. But what do you want to be in terms, for example, I'm always asked, because I speak about courage a lot. So Dennis, how do I become courageous? And the answer is incredibly simple. May not be easy to do, but it's easy certainly to prescribe. Decide to become courageous. Act courageous, you'll become courageous. Here is the trick. Whatever you want to become, do it. Act it. Then you'll become it. You want to be happy? Act happy. You want to become deep? Act deep. Start reading. Good stuff. Start listening to good stuff. That's the trick in life. Whatever you want to be, act it, and then you'll be able to do it. So that's somewhat of a summary of last year. So the year before, I had a list of resolutions: create a good habit, don't get insulted, study the Bible, buy from small businesses, get married, and find close friends. That's a good list. And by the way, it's not dated. Last year's good list is just as relevant this year. Yes, good habits. Everything is habit. Lousy habits are habits. Good habits are habits. I have, in fact, developed a new habit in the last, I would say, 3 weeks. I now get up from every chair I sit without using my hands. I'm laughing because it doesn't sound very important, but it's really good for you. It's really good for your legs. Believe it or not, I work out 3 times a week, and I am conscious of this stuff. Look, I got a lot of energy. You know, that's a help. My attitude is a help. My genes are a help. My happy life is a help. My friends are a help. My work is a help. But also the physical is a help. I mean, we are physical bodies. We're not just spiritual, angelic beings. Don't get insulted. That is so good. You are, isn't it amazing that there are people who walk around constantly feeling insulted, dissed, as they say? How come I'm insulted with such regularity that if it took a toll on me, I would be dead by now. Or I would certainly be hospitalized. in a mental hospital. I mean, if you put my name and any expletive, any, you will get tens of thousands of hits. So again, it's so much of life is a choice. You choose whether to be insulted. Sometimes you really are, but it's pretty rare. And let's see, so study the Bible. Yes. The reason is because it's very hard to get wise on your own. Wisdom is received just like language is received. If you grew up without language, you wouldn't know how to speak. If you grow up without wisdom, you won't be wise. And wisdom is everything. Well, nearly everything. A few things are everything, and I'm going to get to one today. And I admit, I look, nobody writes Bible commentaries to get wealthy, so I'm not self-conscious in telling you. I think the best place to start is with my commentary on the Bible called The Rational Bible. It makes it all very clear, and I work very, very, very hard on this for now 10 years. And small business, yes. If you can, well, so I try to do this. I don't always do it, but I do it a lot. If I want to get something and it's available elsewhere aside from Amazon, it will take me another 3 minutes to fill in credit card information. It's easier to click on Amazon, but I try to give businesses that business to keep them in business. Get married. Well, okay, I don't want to put Nathan on the spot here, so I won't even mention that anymore. Yes. It's a perfect example, by the way. One of my favorite lines, with favorite in quotes, is, well, I'm not ready to get married. So let me tell you about that. You're ready when you get married. Very few people are ready. It's like, are you ready to be a parent? Who's ready to be a parent? You become a parent and then you get ready. That's the way life works. Again, I'm a behaviorist. Do it, then you'll feel it. And close friends, that's a given. So I just want to add this year. So here's a biggie. Everything depends, including courage. Well, they're related. Pursue truth. Don't ask who said it. Ask, is it true? That's it. Virtually all evil comes from lies. It's the pursuit of truth. It sounds sort of like a cliche, but it doesn't matter. It's really everything. You know, when I said during the lockdowns that they were a terrible thing, it was dismissed because experts told people lockdowns are important. So people didn't ask, is it true? They asked, who said it? Well, Dennis Prager is not a quote-unquote expert. I'm not an epidemiologist. But even the epidemiologists and other scientists who said these are a bad idea, they weren't listened to. So the pursuit of truth is really, really big. And finally, pursue depth. And that, again, is totally behavioral. Do you want to be a deeper person? First of all, getting married will make you a deeper person. Becoming a parent will make you a deeper person. But there's other forms of depth, like take a half hour off whatever TV or media watching you're doing or on your phone and do something deep, like learn a language, learn an instrument, read a good book, just a half hour a day. Gradually, you'll become habituated to it. And you will think, oh my God, what I have been able to achieve just in one half hour a day, and that is the truth, by the way, a half hour a day to anything deep will have a huge impact on your life. So give it some thought, and Happy New Year. Now to your questions. Okay, so Susanna, 25, in Mexico. So what do we have today? Mexico, Croatia, Australia, mm-hmm. and Japan. And I like that because as rooted as I am in my culture as an American, I've always believed that ideas that are good everywhere. That's the reason there are people watching this everywhere, because either the ideas are universally true or they're not true. There's no such thing as it's just, it would be like saying Shakespeare is just for Englishmen or English people. That would be absurd. It doesn't work. That's my commentary on the Bible is on the first five books. It's on the Torah. The Torah is not just for Jews. It's for everybody on earth because it's got so much wisdom in it, so many good values. So anyway, Mexico. A friend of mine visited Mexico for vacation. He was astounded that someone stole his backpack when he left it unattended for a brief moment at the airport. He complained that I didn't warn him about this. That's funny. She's responsible because she's Mexican and didn't say, you better guard your stuff at the airport. I'm from Mexico and didn't mention this when he asked me about places to visit. I told him that I was sorry about what happened, but I was really surprised that he thought his backpack would be safe, unattended anywhere in the world. What a lesson for both of us. From all your trips over the world, yes, I've been to 131 countries, what have been the biggest lessons you've learned? I assume it's about travel you're asking, not about the human race. That's a separate issue. So I gave you she's terrific. So here's a good one. Learn anything in the language of the country you are visiting. And you have no idea, if you just learn thank you. The only thing I can say, for example, in Amharic, you know what Amharic is? Does anybody here know what Amharic is? Very few people know what Amharic is. It is the language of Ethiopia. So I've tried to learn thank you. I probably know thank you in 15 languages. And this was a tough one, Amasaganalo. It took me a long time to master thank you in Amharic. But there are a lot of Ethiopians in the United States. And if I say, so where are you from? Ethiopia. And then I say, oh, Amasaganalo. They light up. They just light up. Mm-hmm. Just learn that obrigado in Portuguese, whatever it is, salamat, right, in Tagalog, because you're married to a Filipino. You know why? It means you are taking them seriously. That's what it means. When you can say something in the language of others. Did you want to say something?
Yeah. Another reason why it's ridiculous that people try to say it's offensive to ask where they're from.
Oh, God. It's another left-wing idiocy, which is redundant. Don't ask people where they're from because it's offensive. It's like almost every left-wing idea, it's actually the opposite. It's offensive not to ask. It means you're not interested in the human being. You have an accent and you're in the United States and I'm not going to ask you where you're from. If I visit another country, and I've visited other countries every year since I was 18, except for 2020, when you could go nowhere, I have been outside of the United States every single year of my life, of my adult life. The most natural thing on earth is if I'm ordering a meal at a restaurant, for the waiter or waitress to say, where are you from? If I'm speaking their language and and obviously don't have their accent, or if I'm just speaking English. If they didn't ask me where I'm from, I would assume they don't give a damn about me. They're not curious about me. Thank you for reminding me. It's such a bizarre thing. Anyway, learn something of the language where you go. How are you? I remember when I was 20 years old and I was in Morocco and I was studying Arabic. So I was in Morocco and I said to a Moroccan, Ayn al-Barid, I even remember the exact sentence, where's the post office? I'm telling you, the guy invited me to his house. I felt I could become mayor of the city just because I could say, where is the post office in Arabic? It touches people. Next, go to places off the beaten track, okay? It's great to see the usual places because they're fascinating. Every country's fascinating. There's no country that's not fascinating. But also, do something off the beaten track. People tell me, you know, they always ask, well, what's your favorite country? There's no such thing, my favorite country. I liked visiting all of them. But I will admit that if I could go back, if I had to go back to ones that I have visited, one of them would be India. And it's so colorful. It's so interesting. It's relentlessly interesting, India. And very often people say, oh, wow, India, I don't know. Is it clean, or some bizarre question? Is it clean? What does that even mean? Is it clean? But, or I'm afraid about the food. By the way, it's the most delicious food on earth is in India, as it happens. It's the only place I know I could be a vegetarian and not miss meat. That's how good the food is. But you're not living life fully if you don't visit off the beaten track. Oh yes, don't go in the summer if you can avoid it. First of all, it's so hot in so many places. And secondly, the lines are so long. Now, if you're a big fan of tourists and lines, go in the summer. But if you're a big fan of seeing what you want to see in those countries, try to go some other time. And finally, is an interesting question. Traveling alone versus traveling with a friend. I did all of my travels until I married at the age of 32 alone, all of them. And that meant every year from 18 to 32. That's 14 years of traveling alone. That's a lot. Now, traveling with someone, especially if you know, your spouse, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, that's a terrific thing to do. I would not want to travel alone. Now I want to go with my wife. It would be depressing, frankly, not to go with her. But there is a massive, massive advantage in going alone, because you must then relate to the society. You can't relate to your cultural friend, the friend from your culture. You have to live on their terms, as it were. It's a very different experience. Also, you are much more likely to be invited to homes if you're alone. And other tourists I remember how many people when I was young and how many people would go, oh, you're on your own? Join us for dinner. And I had much better dinners with all these tourists who picked me up. And I'm a guy, you know, girls must get this more than I, but I got it a lot. You're alone? Join us. My wife and I would love to have you for dinner. I thought it was a great idea. But I like people. I don't like humanity, but I really love people. And it was, there were massive advantages. I learned a great deal traveling alone. All right, next. Right, let's see. Okay, yes. How do you pronounce her name? Cece? 25 years old, Nashville, Tennessee, USA. USA. Hi, Dennis. I started watching your fireside chats this year and love them. And I love that you have the dogs with you. This is Snoopy, by the way. Did I mention that? This is Snoopy. Mm-hmm. For all the years, Otto became the most famous dog in America. But he's passed away. And we now have another English bulldog, but he's too frisky as a puppy to stay in there a lot. And he's in his retirement year, Snoopy, so he's here. I know you encourage people who are single to get married. I want to get married, but I have not had much luck with guys. I'll be 26 soon, and I've not dated much, but it's not for lack of trying. Guys just don't seem interested in me. What advice do you have for people like me who want to get married but have trouble dating? Is there a solution? I know you think people are better off married, but if I never find anyone, is it possible to have a fulfilling godly life as a single person? Thank you and God bless. Of course you could have a fulfilling godly life as a single person. But it's better to be with somebody. on every ground. You grow more, and it's a better life. And if it doesn't work out, I know this, what I'm about to say will not resonate with a number of you. I know this from my radio show, because I said it on my radio show. People called in who disagreed with me, which is great. I really enjoy that, actually. It is better to have been married and divorced than never to have been married. I believe that very deeply. Marriage in and of itself is growth, and it is something you should try. If the purpose is to avoid divorce, that's like saying, is the purpose of having a car to avoid an accident? No, you hope to avoid an accident, but the purpose of driving is to get around and have the freedom to get around by having your own vehicle. Now, I don't know why you're having trouble attracting guys. I have no idea. I don't know you, obviously. I will say one thing that will that is like the antithesis of anything you'll hear, because people are afraid to say this. But I've said this all of my life in talking to young people, that especially for girls, looks matter. And it's not fair. It isn't a feminist thing to say, but remember what I said the resolution was? Always tell the truth. And that's the truth. It matters. So I don't know how you dress. I don't know how you take care of yourself. I don't know any of that. But I do know that if you are normally attractive, not gorgeous, there's no need to be gorgeous. If there were, very few people would get married, okay? But it's not insignificant. And I remember young women who would tell me, and I was lecturing on this in my 20s, to people 5 years younger than me. I remember the girls who would raise their hand and say, no, a man should love me for my heart and my soul. And I said, of course he should. But we're not angels. We're not spirits. We're physical beings. So the physical does count. And I don't have any idea if that's a factor. But if a 25-year-old woman says to me she's not attracting guys, knowing guys, that's the first thing that comes to my mind. So I wonder if that resonates with you or not. But I would be lying to you if I didn't note that fact. And I'm sure that this will be attacked by the people who don't ask, is it true? They ask, does it comport with my ideology? Here's this one. Let's see. Oh, yeah, I could answer this one briefly. Jeffrey in Melbourne, Australia. Dennis, I'd like your perspective on whether you think Hitler was far right or was actually a far left ideologue. Okay, thank you for your time. I enjoy listening to Fireside Chat every week. All the best. Thank you. Hitler was left-wing in that he believed in socialism. Remember, Nazism is national socialism. Very few people know that, especially if you go to college where you don't learn much. But that is what Nazism stands for, national socialism. In that sense, it was left-wing, but it was not left-wing in another sense. The left divided the world by class. That's the classic Marxist division of the world, class, the proletariat and the oppressor, if you will. Whereas Hitler divided the world by race. Race is not a left-wing or a right-wing value. It has become a left-wing value in the last 25 years in the West. All of a sudden, race matters incredibly. The left has actually, in some ways, abandoned classic Marxist division by class and now made it by race. Race was neither left nor right until this moment. It is not a right-wing value. I mean, I live among people on the right. None of them. Not one person I know is a racist. They find the idea preposterous. So it's not right to say that he was right-wing, and it's not right to say he was only left-wing. He was partially left-wing. And by the way, he hated capitalism. Hated it. I just read a new biography of Hitler, and that was a major part of the biography, how much the man hated capitalism. That's also not taught in college. Well, that was a nice beginning for the new year. So don't forget to watch last week's Fireside Chat with my son, and I'll see you next week. Thanks.
Thank you for watching this video. To keep PragerU videos free, please consider making a tax-deductible donation.